वासुदेवाया। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, entitled Prahlad, the Best Among Exalted Devotees. Verse number 7. Yadi dasyasi me kaman, varamstvam varadarshabha, kamanam hridya samroham, भवदस्तु वृणे वरम् यदि दास्यसि मे कामान् वरांस्त्वं वरदर्शभा कामानां हृद्य संरोहम् भवदस्तु वृणे वरम्। Word to word translation. यदि if Dasyasi, want to give,
me,
Kaman,
anything desirable,
Varan,
as your benediction,
Tvam,
you,
Varada Rishabha,
O Supreme Personality of Godhead,
who can give any benediction,
Kamanam,
of all desires for material happiness.
Hridi,
within the core of my heart.
Asamroham,
no growth.
Bhavataha,
from you.
Tu,
then.
Vrine,
I pray for.
Varam,
such a benediction. Translation.
O my Lord, best of the giver of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to pray for benedictions from the Lord. He said, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmini janminishware bhavadat bhaktir ahetukitvai. O my Lord, I do not want from you any amount of wealth, nor many followers, nor a beautiful wife. For these are all materialistic desires. But if I have to ask you for any benediction, I pray that in whatever forms of life I may take my birth, under any circumstances, I will not be bereft of your transcendental devotional service. Devotees are always on the positive platform, in contrast to the Mayavadis, who want to make everything impersonal or void. One cannot remain void. Shunyavadi, rather one must possess something. Therefore, the devotee on the positive side wants to possess something, and this possession is very nicely described by Prahlad Maharaj, who says, if I must take some benediction from you, I pray that within the core of my heart there may be no material desires. The desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not at all material. ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्तस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम्
సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణలలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పదితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే భూతైర్మహాద్భిర్యైమా పురో విభు నిర్మాయ శేతే యదముష పూరుష భుంక్తే గుణాన్ షోడశ షోడశాత్మక సోలంకృషీష్ట భగవాన్ వచాంసి మే హరే కృష్ణ. సో టుడే ఇస్ ద మోస్ట్ ఆస్పీషియస్ డే, ఇట్స్ ద అపియరెన్స్ డే ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ నరసింహదేవ్. సో ఐ చోస్ దిస్ వర్స్ టు స్పీక్ బికాస్ ద ప్రేయర్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వర్స్ ఇస్ వెరీ క్రిటికల్ for progress in our devotional life. So Prahlad Maharaj prays to Lord Narasimhadev, I don't want any desires, I don't want any benedictions at all. However, if you wish to fulfill any desire, then let there be no material desires at all in the core of my heart. So I was thinking, as devotees, at least at one point in our devotional career, we have to come up to this prayer. So I was thinking, have a bit of discussion on this and we will see the pastime of Lord Narasimhadev, because today is the auspicious appearance. Srila Prabhupada very nicely quotes the Shikshtashtanga prayer, where Mahaprabhu is establishing what is the standard of prayer. That is, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmini janmini ishare, bhavadat bhaktir ahetuki toyi. So it is a prayer for ahetuki bhakti. And explicitly declaring, explicitly praying that I don't want anything material. Na dhanam, it's very attractive. Opulence, wealth is very attractive. Na janam, followers are even more attractive. Because there are people who are ready to listen, who are ready to glorify, who are ready to do whatever we ask for. It is attractive. And sundarim, it is opposite sex. Very attractive and it is very close to our heart. It becomes our second nature to think about things which are not necessary, which are detrimental to our devotional progress. So Mahaprabhu is setting the standard, so we should opt out such things and pray for pure devotional service. So I was thinking, today, since this is the auspicious appearance day of Sri Narasimhadev, we can at least try to understand, try to pray in this mood. At least we can go in front of the Lord and tell, I don't want these things, even though it is very strong in my heart. So in case of Prahlad Maharaj, there is no material desires at all. He is completely pure. The Lord has personally appeared in front of him. Still, he is telling, if at all, if there is any material desires, kindly remove them from my heart. So indeed, we can see that this prayer is for us. It is not for him. He is showing compassion to all the living entities. We can see his mood throughout in his prayers. Prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. He wants to show compassion to the living entities. He himself says, I am swimming in the ocean of nectar. That is the nectar of devotional service.
But I am very much concerned about these fools and rascals who wants to enjoy the material world. We can understand to some degree we also fall, or at least to some great degree we also fall into this category. So today we can pray to Narasimhadev, we can ask for his mercy, because today the Lord is very, very merciful. And I was very blessed because today I was worshipping Narasimhadev, I was doing Saligram Puja. So I was trying to do this for the pleasure of the Lord. And it was intense. Worship was not easy, it was intense. I can feel it. Pray, painting, doing the whole worship, painting, so praying. Somehow or other, allow me to serve you. So this is very auspicious. So we had to take shelter of the Lord today, and we can carry this mood. That is very important. In fact, if you approach the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishwamitra Thakur says, the first 10 chapters are showing, elaborating pure devotional service. So that's where the pastime of Sri Prahlad and Narasimha appears. In fact, if you try to understand the tattva of Narasimhadev and the position of Narasimhadev, Srila Rupa Goswami places Narasimhadev in the topmost rung in the hierarchy of Vishnu Tattva. So in the Laku Bhagavatamrita, which is the avatar science, a verse is quoted from Padma Puran, where it is mentioned, Narasimha Rama Krishnasau Shadgunyam Paripuritam Paravastastu Tetasya Deepam Utpanna Deepavat. So Narasimhadev fall into the category of Paravastha incarnation. Paravastha. So the Lord has many incarnations, as we know, of which three are considered complete. And of which the first one is considered Narasimhadev. So Paravastha, because he manifests opulence to a greater degree than other incarnations. So when he appears in front of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj, when he is about to kill him, the form he manifests and the opulence he manifests is much superior to other incarnations. So Narasimhadev fall into the category of Paravastha, complete form of the Lord. And higher is considered Lord Ramachandra, and of course even most highest is Krishna. So these three forms of the Lord are considered the highest, complete. Narasimhadev, Lord Ramachandra, and of course Krishna. So now if you try to understand how we can approach Narasimhadev, basically he is the protector of the devotees. He can remove obstacles in the path of devotional service. He is Bhakti Vikna Vinashaka. We know the history where in 1967, when Srila Prabhupada had the heart problem, he went to San Francisco from New York and he returned to New York. Then he was intensely giving lectures. He had a very intense routine. Then he found out that his heart is not functioning very well. And all the devotees were there. Kirtananda Prabhu was there. Brahmananda Prabhu was there. All the devotees were there. And they were touching the heart of Prabhupada and checking. So Prabhupada said, it's not well. And Prabhupada really had severe pain. And that time, Prabhupada asked all the devotees to pray. What was that famous prayer? Narasimha prayer. That is, Tavakara Malavare Adbhuta Shrinka Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanu Bhrinka. So that prayer he wrote and gave and asked all the devotees everywhere to chant and pray. And devotees did pray for a whole night. And Prabhupada asked specifically to pray that our master has not complete his work. So please allow him to complete his work. See, Prabhupada saw that there is a great obstacle in spreading Krishna consciousness because his health was so bad. And at that point he took shelter of Narasimhadev because he can remove all the obstacles from the path of devotional service. So this is the mood in which we can approach Narasimhadev, and that's why we have Narasimhadev throughout in ISKCON in all temples. We must worship Narasimhadev. We need his protection, and today is the day we can shelter of Narasimhadev. We can pray to him can request for His mercy, and we need to really feel it. We need some help. The mood of prayer is that we need to feel that we need help. So then we can actually approach Narasimhadev. In fact, in Mayapur, the same thing, because the dacoits were attacking and so much of trouble creating. Then what devotees did? Installed Narasimhadev, Ugra Narasimha. Then what happened? All the dacoits ran away. And Narasimhadev is so merciful. We shouldn't fear Narasimhadev. That's not the right mentality. We cannot have a photo of Narasimhadev at home. That's not the right mentality. We need the mercy of Narasimhadev. So we need to worship Narasimhadev. In fact, Pangajangri Prabhu was mentioning, many devotees approached him and told, I wish I could worship Narasimhadev. I wish, if I were pure enough. And ran away, didn't want to speak further. And Pangajangri Prabhu says, it's not like that. Everyone needs the mercy of Narasimhadev. We need to worship Narasimhadev. At least a photo. We can have Narasimhadev in the altar. We need. So it's a mandatory. Even Nanda Maharaj, you know what's the prayer of Nanda Maharaj in Golok Vrindavan? He prays that, let Narasimhadev be merciful so that my service to Krishna is never taken away. It's a very important prayer. It's an important mood that we need Narasimhadev so our service to Radha Vallabha is never taken away. So this is the mood in which we can approach Narasimhadev. And in fact, Narasimhadev is very interesting because the Lord appeared from different sources. However, Narasimhadev is known as Stambaputra. One of his names is Stambaputra. Stamba means pillar. Son of a pillar. Very unique name. No other forms of the Lord has accepted such a name, Stambaputra. So this is Narasimhadev. So he's ready to come to protect his devotee even from a pillar. So in this pastime, when we try to see the pastime, we can see epitome of three things. One is Hiranyakashipu, he's an epitome of material desires, materialism. And Prahlad Maharaj is an epitome of saintliness. And Narasimhadev is showing the utmost compassion and protection for his devotee. So this pastime is very unique in that sense. What does Hiranyakashipu mean? Hiranya means gold. And Kashipu means soft bed. So this is what a materialist wants. Woman, or opposite sex, and wealth. Enjoy. So this is Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu, he had material desire. It was much greater than anyone else. He wanted to be immortal. He didn't want old age. He wanted to control the entire universe. He wanted all mystic siddhis. Anima, Lekima, Manima. He wanted all yogic perfections. So he was ready to perform all the austerities because he wanted to control the entire universe. And he wanted to do everything in a subtle way. So currently, now also we try to control. Everyone has something to control. At least a room, a home, at least a locker, a cupboard. Something. Or a dog, or a cat. Everyone has something to control. But Hiranyakashipu wanted to control the entire universe. And for that sake, he was ready to perform our austerities. Right? It is said, if we have material desires, then if it has to be translated as success, then there has to be hard work. And Hiranyakashipu, since he had the utmost material desire, so he had to perform such severe austerities. Like for example, here if we have 2-bedroom house and we want 5-bedroom house, in between there has to be hard work. Right? In the same way, Hiranyakashipu wanted something which is biggest, so he had to work hard. What was that? He was ready to perform austerity. He was standing on one leg, that too, tip of one leg, and looking in the sky, looking atop in the folded hands, and he was praying to Brahma. Can we imagine? Standing in one leg, we yoga sometimes we do with Prabhu, one leg, for a few seconds, maybe a minute maximum. After that, we can't. And he was doing this for thousands and thousands of years. It is said, if somebody is in ignorance, then he has to work very hard. Avidya karma sabjnanyo. That is, if one is afflicted with avidya, then one has to work very, very hard. So Narasimha Hiranyakashipu, he was completely inflicted with avidya. So he had to work very hard, thousands of years. Then what happened? Even fire was coming from his head. How is that? How is that hard work? Fire coming from the head. Now, if you work very hard, what happens? We get stressed, distressed, angry, maybe sleepless nights. And we become angry and we misbehave to people. However, the fire, the heat, was heating up the entire universe. Lower planetary system, middle planetary systems, upper planetary systems. This was the intensity of austerity that Hiranyakashipu performed to achieve his material desires. So it's a very good example to see a materialist. Who is this? He is ready to do anything to achieve what he wanted. And the whole material, all the sky was filled with smoke. And as it happened, all the demigods started feeling the heat. They approached Brahma and told him, look, somebody is performing severe austerities and looks like he wants to occupy your position. Right? It's like if somebody is joining a company, a corporation, what they want? If you are serving a boss, what is in his mind? I want to get to his position. That is the actual pure materialist mentality. You ask anyone who is working in a properly, he wants to have progression in the corporate ladder. What he wants? If he's serving someone, it's not out of love. He wants to get money, and not only that, he wants the next position. Like, we know the example in Srila Prabhupada's pastime, in that printing press in Japan, right? One guy who came, one of the manager, he came, he put everyone's business card. Then what he did, he took his business card and he's placed it on top of everyone else's. This is what I want. So this is the common mentality. I want to become the topmost. So Hiranyakashipu is really epitomizing that mentality. He wanted to actually become bigger than Lord Brahma, but he couldn't. He knows. He cannot. So he approached Lord Brahma. And he doesn't want to worship Lord Vishnu because he's the enemy. Because his brother was killed by Vishnu. Varahadev, Hiranyaksha was killed. So he was so angry. That's why he's performing such severe austerity. He wants to kill Vishnu. That's the whole idea. And he never wants to be killed by the Lord. So of course, Lord Brahma, he waits for some time. And then along with all his associates, he goes to Mandarachal. And he meets with Hiranyakashipu. As he goes to meet Hiranyakashipu, he cannot see Hiranyakashipu. What was there? Only ant pit. There was no Hiranyakashipu. See the austerity, see the material desire, see the hard work. The ants had already eaten up all the body. Only bone was remaining. That's it. Then Brahma had to revive him by throwing some water. So this is the intensity of austerity. Can we perform such austerity? No, we cannot. Currently, what is the severe austerity we can see? There are people who die because of hard work. We were watching one video, right, in one of the retreats. People are dying out of hard work. It's a good name. It's a Japanese term for people who work sheerly out of hard work. And it is a common in Japan and in some other countries. And it's called karoshi. It's a good term, karoshi. In Sanskrit, what does it mean by karoshi? Exactly, do it. It's a Sanskrit term and it is Japanese term too. That is dying because of hard work. And it has been accepted as part of the culture. One day, this is a true story. One day, the father goes, leaving the child and the mother to work, and he doesn't return. He left the body. Why? Because of a stroke, because of hard work. It is common in some countries. However, Hiranyakashipu could maintain life in the bones because he was a mystic. He had mystic powers. And then, Okay, Lord Brahma came and Lord Brahma asked, what do you want? He actually wanted to be immortal, but he knows he cannot be immortal. And he knows Brahma cannot award immortality. So he asked for a benediction in a very, very tricky way. He took all the permutations and combinations so that he will never be killed. So he asked, let me not meet death from any of the living entities created by you. Okay? So all the living entities are created by Brahma. So I don't want to be killed by any living entities created by you. Second, within or outside of any residence, during the daytime or at night. Pretty interesting. He's trying time. He's covering the people, then covering the space, then covering the time. On the ground or in the sky, by any being other than those created by you, by any weapon, by any human being or animal, from any living entity, living or non-living. Very critical point. Living or non-living. How careful he is in fulfilling his desire. Living or non-living. And we know, what is the solution for that? What is the solution for that? Living or non-living. Exactly, nails. Living or non-living. Narasimha Deva has a solution for everything. So, living or non-living. By any demigods or demon, or by any great snake from the lower planets, let me not have any rivals. Give me sole lordship over all the living entities and presiding deities. Give me all the mystic powers attained by long austerities and the practice of yoga, for these cannot be lost at any time. This is a really someone wants to control, right? We can pray for material desires, but this is an extreme example. We cannot really, actually speaking, we cannot pray like this. Have you ever prayed like this? Maximum in a corporation, maximum at home, among a few people, but this is covering everything. So this is the potency of Hiranyakashipu. He could pray like that and he could achieve that. What Brahma says, tathastu, no problem. He didn't even think, tathastu, that's it, let it be so. And everything is going to be true. And Hiranyakashipu, he had such a body just with bones, only bones. Now he got a very strong body with great luster, gold-like. And he started controlling and he started terrorizing the whole universe. It's just like a tyrant, you know. You know, we can see tyrants now also. For example, in North Korea, there is a tyrant. But the power is very limited. He has executed many people, but it is very limited. To a small country, a small portion, which can be annihilated at any point. There is war threats. So that is very small. But he could control the entire universe. Even all the demigods were paying obeisances unto Hiranyakashipu. He started ruling from Indraloka. He started using Nandana Kanana. He started using Amaravati. Amaravati is the capital of Indra. He was ruling from there. It is said even the great sage like Narada Muni had to pray to Hiranyakashipu. He was praying to Hiranyakashipu. All the sages, including Narada Muni, was praying to Hiranyakashipu. And what Hiranyakashipu wanted, he wanted to turn around all the rules. If somebody is performing, a Brahmana is performing some austerities, instead of getting good results, pious results, he would get impious results. If demon is killing someone, he would get very pious, very good, auspicious results. So he was able to change the nature's laws. Which demon wouldn't like this? So which materialist wouldn't like this? So Hiranyakashipu achieved everything. However, as we know, his son was very saintly. So he's characterizing the materialism, but his son was so saintly. And he became the saintliest. Then one could ask, how come Prahlad became so saintly? So it is said, one time, not this time, Hiranyakashipu went to perform austerities, not in Mantarachal, but he went to Kailas. He went to perform austerities. And as he was about to meditate, and he just started his meditation, that time, on top of the tree, there were two sparrows. So these sparrows were Parvatamuni and Naradamuni. So both of them, as he was about to focus on Lord Brahma for his material desires, Naradamuni started uttering Narayana, Narayana. Three times. Narayana, Narayana, Narayana. Immediately he was disturbed because Hiranyakashipu is hearing the name of his enemy. He couldn't focus. Immediately he came out and then he was trying to meditate again. He closed his eyes. He started to meditate. Again, Naradamuni and Parvatamuni uttered the names of Lord Narayana. Again, he couldn't meditate. He became very angry. You know, sometimes if you want to do something peacefully, something gets agitated, then we can't do that. In the same way, he became so agitated, he wanted to kill these sparrows. He took his bow and arrow and he was about to shoot. However, they are great sages, they flew away. The sparrows flew away. Then Hiranyakashipu understood, this time it's not going to happen. The time is not right. I'm going home. So he went home. So there, Kayadu was there, his wife. So since he couldn't perform austerities and he wanted a union with his wife. So as he approached his wife, Kayadu asked Hiranyakashipu, "You went for austerities, but how come you returned so fast? So what happened?" Then Hiranyakashipu narrated the whole story. And when he was narrating the story, he uttered the name of Narayan. And then the meditation on Narayan became fixed in his mind, even though in an angry mood. So, and in that mood, he had union with his wife Kayadu. And because of his constant remembrance of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj was conceived. And then we know the pastime. How? Again, he went for the austerities, then the demigods attacked all the demons and took Kayadu as hostage, and they wanted to kill Kayadu because in the womb they expected a great demon. But Naradamuni came and rescued, and Naradamuni gave all transcendental knowledge to Prahlad Maharaj, who is in the womb. So we know that pastime. So this is how Prahlad became such a saintly person. And Hiranyakashipu, one time, here is the pastime, gets interesting, where one time Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, because he was going to school, who are the teachers? Shanda and Amarka, sons of Shukracharya. So they are teaching all the demoniac principles, all the different skills to be a demon. So one day Prahlad came and Hiranyakashipu was very affectionate and asked his son Prahlad, "What did you learn so far in the school?" So Prahlad said, Prahlad is so fearless, he knows the character of his father, and he preached strong and straight. Suppose if some person is going to hit us, let it be in book distribution, for example, we go in book distribution, I had experience. Someone is about to throw the book and about to punch, started shouting, then we keep quiet. Basically, we try to save ourselves. We don't try to preach. If somebody is shouting very heavily, we try to go away. We try to save ourselves, not to get hit by such a person. However, Prahlad is a very fearless preacher at all conditions. And first when Hiranyakashipu asked, what did he say? He said, "Tasadhumanye suravarya dehinam sada samadigna dhyam asatgrahat Hitvatma padam grihamandhakupam vanam gatoyat harimashrayadha." Straight away he said, Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Oh, best of the asuras." We think it is a bit odd, but Hiranyakashipu is very happy to hear that. Yeah. Because asura varya, because he is the greatest of the demon and he is proud of it. So, "Oh, best of the asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embarrassed by anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest, vana, vanam gatoyat harimashrayata. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan." where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can it be more clear than that? It is very clear preaching of Prahlad Maharaj to his father. Then Hiranyakashipu became very angry. He is directly preaching, you know, he's telling, you know, you have to go and you have to worship Krishna. You are simply suffering. And he said, his teachers, you take him and teach him what is right and what is wrong according to demoniac principles. Don't let him loose like this. He is getting spoiled by worshipping Krishna. So teach him what is right and what is wrong. So they tried their best. Shanta and Amarka, they tried their best in teaching Prahlad Maharaj all the demoniac principles. And after some time, what happened? Again, he came back. And then again, this time, with loving affection, Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, so what did you learn at school? What did he say? 9 process of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusmaranam, Archanam, Mandaram, Sakyam, Dasyam, Atmadivedanam. So he is told all 9 items of devotional service, Navanga Bhakti. Can it be, you know, he is further preaching, his next principle, how to worship the Lord. First time he left, Vanam Gatoyat Harimashrayatha. Now what you have to do after going to Vana, to Vrindavan? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho Smaranam. You start hearing about Krishna, chanting his glories and remembering the Lord. So he gave the full. So Hiranyakashipu started chastising teachers. He said, this Prahlad is the most fallen in the family of the demons. Because he is glorifying Vishnu, he is glorifying Krishna. And there is no point leaving him like this. You need to teach him properly. So he said, you have to teach. And at the same time, Prahlad continued speaking. Prahlad said, there is no point, all this kind of thing. You have to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then there are famous verses given by Prahlad Maharaj. He says, you know, the famous verse like, Matrinna Krishne Paradasotava. He makes it very clear. A person who was strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand the goal of life is return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. Because Dirashyaye Bahirartha Manina. So they cannot understand what is the objective of life. As a blind man guided by another blind man miss the right path and fail into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor which are made very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. So he says, you know, Andha Yadhante Upaniyamana. Just a blind is leading the blind. So you are a leader, you are blind, and you are leading the entire universe. This is what Prahlad is telling, strong preaching to his father. And finally he concludes, Mahiyasam Padarajobhishekam Nishkinjananam na Vrinitayavat. If you want pure devotional service, there is no other option than to take shelter of a pure devotee. How? Mahiyasam Padarajobhishekam. Taking the dust from the lotus feet of such devotees and smearing all over the body. He is referring to his own condition because he considered himself a demon, and having gotten the association of pure devotee Narada Muni, he has been transformed. So this is the consciousness of Prahlad Maharaj. In that way, he strongly preaches to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu couldn't stand. Think about the consciousness of Hiranyakashipu. He started considering murdering his own son. And he had good rationale to do so. He was considering if a body part is actually afflicted by poison, and it can afflict the whole entire body. So better amputate that small part. In that way we can save the whole body. One limb is gone, that's okay, but rest of the body is saved. He said, in the same way, in my whole family, this fallen person is Prahlad, so I have to remove him. I have to kill him. He says if a disciple is fallen, he can be rejected. If a guru is fallen, he can be rejected. In the same way, I have to remove my son from my family by killing him. Think this is the height of material consciousness. And he tried all different ways to kill Prahlad Maharaj, from throwing him from the cliff, trying to trample him by the feet of big elephants, throwing him in the fire, and administering poison, starving him, exposing to severe cold, wind, fire and water, and throwing heavy stones on him to crush him. Think, Prahlad Maharaj is 5 years old and Hiranyakashipu is ready to kill him, just throwing big stones to crush him. So this is the height of materialism. So it is mentioned, in fact, Parshila Prabhupada writes that, quoting 10th canto, when one mistreats great souls, his lifespan, opulence, reputation, religion, possessions and good fortune are all destroyed. So this is what happened to Hiranyakashipu. He wanted to kill saintly person, and then everything is lost. So that's why finally he wanted to personally attack and kill Prahlad Maharaj, his own son. We can say in Mahabharata, we can see that when Draupadi was disrobed, she was a woman and she was completely, how can this be done to a mother? Since Duryodhana and Dushyasana and then the Kauravas did that, that was the beginning of the downfall. When someone mistreats and such a bad way, such a heinous way, a devotee, they will fall down. Even the case of Daksha and Sati. Sati was mistreated, right, in the assembly, near the Yagyakund. And that was the downfall of Daksha. So if someone mistreats a devotee and that too such a heinous way, then they are doomed. Nothing can be done. So the same thing happened to Hiranyakashipu. So, as you know, Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, by whose power has a rascal like you become so impudent that you appear fearless and overstep my power to rule you? So what is the source of power? What is the source of your power? And Prahlad Maharaj, he gives the classic answer. Whatever is the source of your power, that is the source of my power also. There is only one source of power. All power is coming from one person. And he explains the characteristics and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So there is no other person. There is all the power. Everything is coming from Krishna. Yet vibhutimas samvas sarvam srimad urjitam evacha, Bhagavad Gita. Whatever splendor you see, whatever you see, it is coming from srimad urjitam evacha. Everything is coming from Krishna. Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse in this purport. So then Hiranyakashipu said, it's when Sri Hiranyakashipu Vacha. It's meant Sri Hiranyakashipu Vacha. And purport Srila Prabhupada explains why it is mentioned Sri Hiranyakashipu. Because one, he has a very glorious son, that is Sri Prahlad. And second, he is going to be killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So Hiranyakashipu is glorified as Sri Hiranyakashipu. He is glorious because he is going to be killed by the Supreme Lord and he has a glorious son. Then he asked, okay, you are overly intelligent and you say that the Supreme Lord Vishnu is going to protect you at all time and he is present everywhere. Then he asked this question, if he is everywhere, then why is he not present in this pillar? That's a classic question. So here, Hiranyakashipu, he's becoming an atheistic scientist. He wants to see, where is the Supreme Lord? He says, I want to see God. Prabhupada writes that all the demons ask the same questions. if there is God, where is the God? Show me God. This is the question of all the atheists. In the same way, Hiranyakashipu, he is the original atheist. He is the original materialist. So he wanted to see the Lord. Okay, show me. So what happened? It is said, the Lord can appear anywhere. He is there. He doesn't have to manifest in the sense he is present everywhere. He can come into vision at any point. And he told Prahlad Maharaj, you are so unfortunate. Why he considered Prahlad Maharaj so unfortunate? Because he is the son of possessor of all wealth at this point. He is the ruler of entire universe. And still he is misbehaving that he cannot inherit any wealth. And Prahlad is going to be killed by Hiranyakashipu. That's what he thinks. So you are so unfortunate. You are going to be killed by me. And you have the option of possessing all the wealth, but you don't want anything. So you are most unfortunate. And then he cracked open the pillar. He hid the crack open the pillar. It is said the whole entire, the whole universe was become fearful hearing this tumultuous sound. And from there, the Lord appeared. So there is a beautiful verse explaining the appearance of Narasimhadeva. It's mentioned, Satyam vidhadum nijabhritya bhashitam vyaptam tabhuteshu akhileshu chatmana adrishyatatvat pudarubam udvaham stambe sabhayam na mrgam na manusham. To prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial, in other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in a wonderful form in the assembly hall. So here, Narasimhadev wanted to make his servant's words right. So there are few words of his servants has to be right at this point. One is that of Prahlad Maharaj, because Prahlad Maharaj said, the Lord is present everywhere. He is there even in this pillar. Second, it is mentioned that Narada Muni at one point said that you will not be able to kill this child. Narada Muni told Hiranyakashipu that you will not be able to kill this child. He warned Hiranyakashipu. So he wanted to make sure that his servant's words are right. Then even Hiranyakashipu himself made a statement, because of enmity towards Prahlad, my son, I may be killed. He had this fear in his heart. So there were, and also Lord Brahma, he also gave promise to Hiranyakashipu. He actually fulfilled, he had to fulfill all the conditions set forth. So he fulfilled, Narasimhadev, by appearing in this form, he fulfilled the desire of Prahlad Maharaj, he fulfilled the desire of Narada Muni, he fulfilled the desire of Hiranyakashipu, he fulfilled the desire of Lord Brahma. So he fulfilled the desire of all his servants. Ultimately, all of them are his servants. And he fulfilled the desire of all the servants. And he appeared in such a fearful form. It is said that his eyes were so angry. He's epitomizing the anger. It was red hot. If anyone sees that form, would faint. No demigods could come in front of him. Such a fearful form. His body was protruding the sky and it was touching the upper planetary systems. And his middle planetary system was waste. And his legs were lower planetary systems. So it's like a universal form. Such a huge form he manifested. And Hiranyakashipu couldn't ascertain who is this. He was looking, he couldn't understand which form is this. He understood Lord Vishnu has tricked and he has assumed this form. And he wanted to kill. So it is mentioned, he jumped on Lord Narasimhadev just like an elephant would attack a lion. So here the analogy of lion and elephant are very appropriate, because a lion can kill an elephant. An elephant is quite fearful about lions, because if they can reach the top, this area, then they can easily kill. At the same time, the lions are careful not to get trampled by the lion is careful not to get trampled by the huge legs of the elephant. So they have strategy attacking an elephant. So it is Prabhupada writes that this the analogy is very appropriate, because the lion is going to kill the elephant like Hiranyakashipu. So it's mentioned Daitya Kunjara. Hiranyakashipu is addressed as Daitya Kunjara. Narasimhadev, just like Garuda would capture a snake, he captured Hiranyakashipu. And it is mentioned after that, he just released, they had a good fight. And in between, it looked like Narasimhadev is going to kill Hiranyakashipu. Actually, Narasimhadev can kill straight away. Even Narasimhadev doesn't have to come to kill Hiranyakashipu. He is all powerful. He appeared to fulfill the desires of his devotees. He is so merciful. And now he is enacting this pastime of big fight. And in between the fight, Narasimhadev showed as if he is losing. And Hiranyakashipu flew away from the grip of Narasimhadev. Narasimhadev was about to kill him, about to attack, but he couldn't, and he flew away. That time, Hiranyakashipu thought that Narasimhadev is actually fearful, and he is afraid of his prowess. That's why he left him. And he took some rest, and he came back to fight again. It's just like a materialist. He commits some sinful activities, and he thinks everything is going fine, everything is going well. But it's just a matter of time. Karma catches up. In the same way, Hiranyakashipu, he came back to attack Narasimhadev. And this time, Narasimhadev just captured him and put him on his lap and then used his fingers to pierce the chest. He cut open the heart and from the body he took out the intestine and he took out the intestine and made that intestine his garland. He started screaming, he started drinking the blood. See, this is so ghastly. This is epitomizing the anger. This is Narasimhadev. And why it is mentioned, why he opened up the heart and he took out the blood. Narasimhadev wanted to think, I am also actually residing in this heart. I am the Paramatma. I am the Paramatma of all the living entities. So I am the Paramatma of Hiranyakashipu also. So in this heart, how can there be so much of envy so that he can kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj? So I want to examine this heart. So he wanted to examine, he wanted to dissect the heart. So he dissected the heart, opened up, and he actually studied the heart of Hiranyakashipu. How is it possible in a heart the Supreme Lord resides, can there be so much of envy? They killed Hiranyakashipu. Then all the demigods, they started showering flowers. There was kettle drums playing and the whole universe became very joyful, very glorious. The act of Narasimhadev. So this is Narasimhadev. Narasimhadev can remove all the anarthas. He can remove all the ignorance of all the devotees' heart. So we have a lot of anarthas. We have a lot of ignorance and we need the mercy of Narasimhadev. So we have, in fact, Hiranyakashipu, we don't have to search outside. We had to just have a careful look into our own self. So then we can see so much of material desires. It may not be to the extent Hiranyakashipu had, but we can see at least to some extent we have material desires. And we do struggle with that. So this is an opportunity to pray to Narasimhadev. And as we know, Narasimhadev couldn't get satisfied, couldn't be pacified by anyone. No demigod could even go near Narasimhadev. He was so angry. Even Lakshmi Devi couldn't go near Narasimhadev, his own chaste wife. Only Prahlad could pacify him by his prayers. So that's why all the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj are so glorious, so important, so beautiful. These prayers, we need these prayers. Because very clearly explaining what is pure devotion service. What is it to be like a devotee, to be like a pure devotee? He says, if I am asking for any benediction from you, then it is a relation between a merchant and his customer. I don't want merchant-like relationship. So that's why I don't want any material benedictions. And he asks mercy for all the living entities. And he asks the mercy for his father, and he asks mercy for all the living entities. And he says that even the big yogis, they go to Himalaya, they perform Maunavrata. Maunam charanti vijane na parartha nishtha. He criticizes all the yogis who perform austerities for their own sake. They have na parartha nishtha. They don't have interest in others. They don't have interest in the deliverance of other living entities who are suffering. They are only interested in their own welfare. He criticizes even all the yogis. And he says, he takes his mood of a preacher. He says, I want to help all the living entities. And let Narasimhadev bestow his benediction to all the living entities. So this is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, even though he was just 5 years old. And he didn't want anything. However, Narasimhadev, he gives. He gives a big kingdom. He says, you live in this big kingdom. He rule over the material world. And you enjoy like a demon. So he gives all the material benedictions, even though he is transcendental to all. And he reminds that transcendental nature throughout. We can see even his grandson, Bali Maharaj, when he became proud, when he got captured, Prahlad Maharaj visits, right? We can see, then he advises Bali Maharaj, Yayapi vidwanahi namuhyate yatha yathavitaste gatimatmaram param tasme namaste jagadishiraya vai narayanayati akhila loka sakshine. Even a great learned person can be completely bewildered by the material energy. Vidwanapi muhyate yatha. Even a vidwan, a great learned person, can be completely bewildered by material energy. So, tasmai namaste gatimatmanamparam narayanayati akhila loka sakshine. So, I don't want any material opulence. I want simply worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. So, he, as a young boy, as a 5-year-old boy, he is praying these wonderful prayers. And later, we can see he has his grandson. Then he's actually repeating the same prayer, the same mood he's carrying forward. So this is Prahlad Maharaj, a pure devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Ahobalam, he went to in front of Narasimha deity, he recited beautiful prayers. So there is a very beautiful prayer. It is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's actually showing the mood of Narasimhadev, how compassionate he is. ഉഗ്രോപ്യനുഗ്രഹ ഏവായം ഭക്താനാം നിർകേസരി കേസരീവ സ്വപോതാനാം അന്യേഷാം ഉഗ്രവിക്രമ. ഓൾദോ വെരി ഫെറോഷ്യസ് ദ ലയണസ് ഇസ് വെരി കൈൻഡ് ടു ഹർ കപ്സ്. സിമിലർലി ഓൾദോ വെരി ഫെറോഷ്യസ് ടു നോൺ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ലൈക് ഹിരണ്യകശിപു, ലോർഡ് നരസിംഹദേവ് ഇസ് വെരി വെരി സോഫ്റ്റ് ആൻഡ് കൈൻഡ് ടു ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ലൈക് പ്രഹ്ലാദ് മഹാരാജ്. സോ ദിസ് ഇസ് എൻകറേജിംഗ്. And there is a very nice verse from Sridhar Swami, because Sridhar Swami is a very great acharya, appeared much before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu always followed in the footsteps of Sridhar Swami, and Sridhar Swami was an exclusive devotee of Narasimhadev. It is mentioned, Sridhare sakalam veti Sri Narasimha prasadata. Why Sridhar Swami? He was able to give a devotional purport to the entire Srimad Bhagavatam because of the mercy of Narasimhadev. So it is mentioned, Sri Narasimha Prasadata. Sridhare Sakalam Veti. He knows everything. That's why Mahaprabhu never accepted any commentary, any opinion which deviated from the purports of Sridhar Swami. So Sridhar Swami, if you read Bhagavatam, if you read the commentary, Srila Prabhupada quotes many verses of Sridhar Swami glorifying Narasimhadev. So I'll read one verse. പ്രഹ്ലാദ ഹൃദയാഹ്ലാദം ഭക്ത വിദ്യാവിദാരണം ശാരദേന്ദു രുചിം വന്ദേ പരീന്ദ്ര വദനം ഹരിം. ഐ പേ മൈ ഹോമേജ് ടു ലോർഡ് ഹരി ഹു ഹാസ് എ ഫേസ് ഓഫ് എ ലയൺ. ഹി ഡിലൈറ്റ്സ് പ്രഹ്ലാദ്സ് ഹാർട്ട് ആൻഡ് ടെയർ അപ്പാർട്ട് ഹിസ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഇഗ്നോറൻസ്. ഹിസ് ലസ്റ്റർ ഇസ് ലൈക്ക് ദ ഓട്ടം മൂൺ. ദ ഭക്തിവിനോദ് ഠാക്കൂർ prays that I have the 6 enemies to the mind, starting from, you know, kama, krodha, daya. So, oh Narasimhadev, you are very ferocious and at the same time you are very kind. So kindly remove the 6 enemies from my heart so that I can worship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So this is the mood in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays. That is, this is a prayer we can all take. We can see this prayer of Prahlad Maharaj, that we have so much of anartha, so kindly help us. And we had to be very sincere, because at the back of our mind we have that fear. If all material desires go away from my heart, then what will happen to me? Really? Or next worry is, it's okay, all the material desires go away from my heart, But if the Lord does something which is a bit too much for me, then you know what will happen to me? Will he do anything which will shake me up? We may worry like that. So that's why it actually gives an obstacle for us to go in front of the Lord and pray. But it is, we all have experience praying to Narasimhadev. I have personally experienced in very difficult circumstances, you know. And I was thinking, you know, things are going to go very, very wrong. It was, you know, it was an obstacle for me to become a brahmachari. So I was thinking, you know, this is going to be really troublesome. I was in a real fear. I went to Narasimhadev and started praying. And I understood the whole obstacles, everything just went away. And everything became very smooth. So Narasimhadev, if we have obstacles in our devotional service, Narasimhadev actually removes. Pankajankari Prabhu says that from his experience, he immediately removes the obstacles and immediately fulfills the desire of his devotees, if we are very sincere. He's ready to do that. He's waiting for us to pray in that way, sincerely. Then he will remove that obstacle. Then we can go next step in our devotional service. Because we need some affection for Krishna. We need some affection for Radha Vallabha. And we need to do our service, our chanting with that affection. And currently, while doing service, while chanting what is coming up, the material desires, it is just sitting there. You know, it is actually obstructing our purity. So we need that to be out from the system. And we need the help of Narasimhadev. It is not something like, you know, we worship many incarnations of the Lord and we also worship the appearance of Narasimhadev. For a devotee, we need the mercy of Narasimhadev. So today, we had to take that opportunity, and I'll tell you one thing happened to me. It's not good. It's bad. One time, I'm worshipping Saligram for a few years now. One time, I dropped Narasimhadev. I was just devastated. I dropped from my hand. And, you know, I was carrying and slipped and fell. And I was completely devastated. I was thinking, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my devotional service? I'm going to go away. Something is going to happen. I was completely devastated. I was practically crying. I was thinking what to do. Then I calmed myself down and I started thinking what to do. Then that day I took half day fast and read all the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj and prayed to Narasimhadev, kindly help me. Then, interestingly enough, next time I was worshipping Saligram, my consciousness completely changed. I was completely shocked myself. The mood in which I was worshipping the Lord changed completely. And I was surprised to myself how this happened. Then I understood, yes, this is really by the mercy of Narasimhadev. Even though I performed an offense, but he was so merciful that my consciousness changed. And from that day onwards, worshipping Saligram, it became a different experience. From that day. So I understood, Narasimhadev is so merciful. So if you somehow or other, you know, hold on to his feet, pray to him. Another experience is, if I go to circumstances which are pretty bad, for example, you know, some caterings where we had to see all different kind of things. My mind sometimes bewilders. That time, if I, you know, think about the Shila, Narasimhadev Shila, I worship him in the mind. You know, whatever worship we do for Saligram, the same worship do in the mind. You know, offer the milk, offer the panchanga, you know, panchamrita abhishek, offer the water, offer the flower. Do everything in the mind. You can see, suddenly there is a great transformation to the consciousness. So we can see, we can do all the worship in our mind. And we can get the same reciprocation. So we are not restrained to external worship. We can do that internally, manasa puja. It's very powerful. So this is the mercy of Narasimhadev. So we all have personal experience approaching Narasimhadev. And let us do it more. Let us do it more sincerely. So that we can develop some affection for the Lord. And we need that. So I stop here and see, is there any questions, comments, or anyone wants to share anything? Yeah. We do ask Krishna to, it's not that we shouldn't ask Krishna to remove the obstacles, but at the same time, Narasimhadev is a special expansion of the Lord who appeared to remove the obstacles in the path of devotional service of his pure devotee. So he is manifesting the anger to remove those obstacles, to remove the materialism, to remove the material tendency in our heart. So he is manifesting that form. He is personifying that form. So we do approach him in that form so that all the obstacles are just shattered. So it's not that Krishna cannot, but at the same time, Narasimhadevi is manifesting that particular form. That's why even Ganesh worship the feet of Narasimhadev, because Ganesh is getting the potency to remove all the obstacles. Because people do worship Ganesh to remove all the obstacles, right? In India, there is a marriage, there should be, sometimes, they don't want rain for the marriage, then they do Ganesh Puja, right? So, any function is there, do a Ganesh Puja, so that there is no obstacle. So, this is material. But even Ganesh, he is transcendental, so he is depending on Narasimhadev. He is personifying that aspect. That's why. Yes, Prabhu.
One small comment. About Srila Prabhupada's life, he had uncontrolled diabetes. That was one of the reasons he had heart attacks. He was so much interested in writing for us. So we are most indebted to Srila Prabhupada on this day for telling us about nursing day. And you told me so many points. I'll tell you one experience. I have told previously also. About 27 years back, I was in Sydney. I went to the ocean to put some grains in the ocean. So I parked my car across the street, and as soon as I was going to enter, a very ferocious dog, black dog, like size of lion, came ferocious. I said, I had nothing, and nobody I could call. Nursing day. And as soon as I said nursing day, the dog has disappeared completely. I saw everywhere. So this is the power of the nursing day. And so many obstacles, as you mentioned, come in our life. Maybe another prophet might tell some more details how many obstacles we are removed. Now he is facing such a big task, making a big kitchen for the Melbourne. So he can travel. Obstacles he is facing. Collecting money is more difficult thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Every morning you say the 10 offenses to the holy name and the 9 offenses on the position of nakedness. But still, Pralap Maharaj, he preaches a body in the
we had to be aware of time, place and circumstances due to many reasons. One, to be effective in our preaching. Okay, one aspect is one thing is that it's not preaching to the faithless, preaching the glories of the holy name to the faithless. That is offense. You can preach to the faithless. In a way, we can. There's nothing like you shouldn't preach to the faithless. Then probably we cannot do Harinam, we cannot do anything. No prasadam distribution, these are all preaching. And when people are faithless, how can you do anything at all? So the offense is not to specifically glorify the holy name, because they don't have any faith, so we don't want them to see the holy name of the Lord as material. The holy name is non different from the Lord, has all the potency, right? So that's right, son. We don't give the potency of the holy name. We don't glorify the holy name to the faithless. But otherwise, you can preach to the faithless. You should preach to the faithless. In different way, in appropriate way. Yeah? Yeah. You can say, come for a lecture, taste this prasadam, read this book. Yeah, it's fine. Yes, Krishna. Not in the balcony. It is in Where did Narasimhadev kill Hiranyakashipu? Was it in the balcony? It's the doorstep. So it's not the assembly, because the pillar was in the assembly. So he came out in the assembly from the pillar, and it was not outside the assembly, it was not inside the assembly. So it was in between. So Hiranyakashipu's boon was, shouldn't be killed inside or outside. So that was right at the doorstep. So it was not inside, it was not outside. It was not day, it was not night. Because it was twilight, right? Sandhya. It's the in-between. And not living, it shouldn't be killed by any living entity, nor non-living. So that was nail. Nail is considered not living, and at the same time it is living. Or, you know, it's in-between. Right? It's living or non-living, you know. In-between. So, he bought. So, he fulfilled all the desires like that. So the Lord can, any contradictions, the Lord can handle. You can have any complicated contradictory prayers or anything to fulfill, but the Lord can do anything. So that is, Krishna has the potency. So he's showing, yeah, I can do anything. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Narasimhadeva Piranaste ki, Prahlad Maharaj ki, Tutaya Gaur Premanande.